Tonight, Brother Jeff Wills will speak at 6 o'clock. I hope you'll be here for the service at 6 if you can. And on the last Sunday, next Sunday, we will not have an afterglow, but we will have choir practice. And so those of you that sing in the choir will have practice. We'll scatter you out in the pews for the practice probably. And our intention is then to sing on June the 7th for the first time. And then we'll start choir practice back that night and start regular services again. And Sunday school, June 7th. So all of you that are teachers and workers in Sunday school, June 7th, we'll have regular Sunday school. So pray for that. Pray the Lord will keep us safe and protected, and pray that everything will go smoothly. And that we know God is able. Let's look in our Bibles now. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We have a communion table before us. Flowers sit upon it. But on the front of that table, it speaks of a memorial in memory of the death of Christ until he comes again, is what it's all about. In Deuteronomy 8, God told Israel to be sure to remember the Lord. They were in grave danger if they did not. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." Verse 11 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." So the Lord was emphasizing to Israel that when they went into the land of promise and enjoyed all the blessings of the land that is now Israel, that they could easily forget that it was God that brought them through all they went through to get there. And we can forget the Lord. We can forget to give God praise. We can forget to be thankful. And we can forget our veterans who sacrificed their lives for freedom's cause. And we don't want to do that. God rehearses how he requires obedience to his commands in this chapter. Israel was to remember God's leading and goodness and deliverance from Egypt and all that God had done for them in supplying their needs. Verse 11, he tells them, "Beware lest you forget the Lord." Verse 18, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." So don't forget that as you earn a paycheck and provide for your family, it's not just your physical abilities and your smartness that provides all that. It's the grace of God that we have the abilities to get wealth and to make money. Remember God's word as we study it. We pledged allegiance to the Bible that we want it to guide our path and be the light for us to walk in righteousness. And we want to hide its word in our hearts that we don't sin against God. Remember what God did for Israel. They were to remember his word. They were to remember his commands. They were to remember what he did. They were to remember his deliverance. And what an amazing deliverance it was down in Egypt. They were an idol-worshiping people of many idols. And God brought 10 plagues against idols in Egypt. They worshiped the river. They worshiped frogs. And they worshiped all of these flies and all that sort of thing. And God brought plagues of those things to show them those were not gods, that he's the true God that rules over the universe. And that was an amazing thing that he did there. Remember, when you prosper, don't start to think that you did it yourself. It's the grace of God that we have what we have and make what we make. If we're a thankful people and give God praise for every blessing, then we're remembering what the Lord would have from us. Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel. Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and then 1 and 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 4. David said unto him, "How went the matter? I pray thee tell me." He answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. David's been away fighting the Amalekites, and he's rested for a little while at Ziklag after the battles he's been in. And a man comes to him with news from Saul's camp that Saul and Jonathan have been killed, the king of Israel and his son. And David and Jonathan were like brothers. Their hearts were knit together. Jonathan, the son of King Saul, took off his armor and gave it to David, his bow and arrow. He was David's confidant to protect him from Saul when an evil spirit came upon Saul and he wanted to kill David. Now, in verse 1 through 4, the Bible gives us the understanding of where David was and when this happened. And then look what he said in verse 17. David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, "The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph." Do you remember the Muslim countries when 9/11 happened in the United States, how they went out in the streets praising and clapping and shouting death to America and all that sort of thing that took place? This is the kind of enemies that they had then, they still have today. "Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor the fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, and who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished?" David wrote a eulogy about Saul and Jonathan. And as we think about Veterans Day and Memorial Day, we're thinking about a eulogy of those who've died for us, shed their blood, provided freedom, fought in wars like Saul and Jonathan fought in war and died. Memorial Day was originally called Decoration Day. Today, the graves at Arlington Cemetery and veterans cemeteries across the country will be decorated. Over 1,200 troops for many years would go there and would put flags on the graves at Arlington. I think now they're pulling even more than that out of the Army to come, because there's more graves now in the Arlington Cemetery. The Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts put the bags with candles in them on the graves. If you go and see that cemetery and the tomb of the unknown soldier, you see the guards who stand guard over them and pace back and forth the 21 steps to symbolize a 21-gun salute. They remember the dead. They understand the price that was paid. They respect the valor Brother Frank's dad was in Vietnam in the Army, and he was in a company that landed in a hot zone, and many of their men were killed. He and the commanding officer survived, but they had so many men wounded, and they lost many who died from their wounds. We must not forget the cost of our freedoms, the cost of our liberties. America, many sacrificed their lives rather than have to live under a dictator or a king who acted like a dictator. Christ wants us to take up his cause. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 18, verse 17 says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the Lord wants us to take up his banner, take up his cause, spread the gospel news, the good news of redemption for man, forgiveness of sins, salvation, and a home in heaven. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. When we give the gospel to people, we speak for God. And we are to do so with whatever sacrifices that is required. He has given us the authority to reconcile men to God. Missionaries have gone to foreign fields that lost their lives, either in attack or in things like malaria and disease and the difficulties. I've known of several missionaries that have had to come home to the United States because of contracting difficult diseases in a foreign field where they had little health care, and they suffered because of their testimony for Christ. Now we have become new creations. We are reconciled to God. And now God has given us the ministry of reconciliation to help others come to know the Lord. Just like our veterans have given their sacrifices quite often for others. We have fought wars for other people's sake, not defending our own borders as much as trying to deliver some country from tyranny and slavery. We'll remember Christ's death until he comes. Remember the price he paid on Calvary's cross. Remember the suffering that he paid. Now I'm back in 1 Samuel, in chapter 31, verse 8. Prior to Saul and Jonathan being killed, it came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor, and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall in Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burned them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Now, can you imagine traveling, expecting to fight a war? All night long they went and took down the bodies of their king and his sons, and they fasted for 7 days. These valiant men stepped up. They determined to do something about what they heard. They were willing to pay the cost with their lives, if that's what it took, to go and bring Saul's body back. They made sacrifice by going all night long. They left their own families and homes and fields and animals. With all possibility, they thought they might not ever return. And they buried the remains of Saul and his sons. And there was labor involved in burying the bones and taking down the bodies. After traveling all night long, they're still laboring and working. And then they fasted for 7 days. There's a lot of effort for men who are in war. They're carrying packs. They're in adverse weather conditions. In Vietnam, we had the immense heat and the terrible monsoon season of rain. But World War II and Korea, they had the terrible enemy of freezing cold, snow, and ice. And they didn't have the protection of new boots and new clothes and those things in Europe as they fought the war for several years, traveling from place to place to place, mostly on foot. No wonder they call them foot soldiers. And they walked in the slush and the mud and the snow. You ever been out with just some boots on or shoes on and walked through the snow for a distance? You know what happens? Your feet start freezing inside. And if you travel far, it gets really bad. You have to stomp to try to keep the circulation going in your shoes from the terrible cold. And our veterans in World War II and Korea suffered that way. Probably similar in World War I in trench warfare because of the rains filling up the trenches with water. It was nothing but mud that they had to stand in and try to sleep in and that sort of thing. Now back in 2 Samuel chapter 2, David is anointed king. Chapter 2 and verse 4. The men of Judah came and they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. He becomes king over the southern kingdom of Judah. He reigns as king over just his own tribe, the tribe of the kings, for 7.5 years. In chapter 5, he's anointed king over all Israel. And he reigns over all Israel for another 33 years. So 40.5 years, David reigns as the king of Israel. And he was a good king. He was good to the poor. He was good to his people. He was a great champion in the wars and the battles. And he fought many. In 2 Samuel 9, in verse 3 through 13, David decided he wanted to do something for Saul's descendants if there were any left alive. Most of his sons were killed with him in the battles. And he asked in, let's see, verse number 3. And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." King said unto him, "Where is he?" Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." He bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Mephibosheth was the son of Saul, the son of Jonathan. Saul was his grandfather. Jonathan was his father. And when the battles came and the enemies wanted to kill all of them, in 2 Samuel 4 and verse 4, the scripture says, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. She was running away because the enemy would kill all of the sons and all of the descendants of the ruling king. And she grabbed him up and ran, and he fell and probably broke his legs and weren't set and that sort of thing, and so he became a cripple. We are a lot like Mephibosheth. We were crippled as human beings because of the fall of sin. Adam and Eve sinned, and that's passed on to every one of us. And God looks down on man and sees man as a sinner who needs to be saved. He's crippled from his sin, and he has no ability to help himself. He has no ability to save himself. He has no ability to do anything that's worthwhile and worthy in the eyes of God unless we find the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ as our Savior. King David says to Mephibosheth, "We will restore all your lands, and the servants will work the lands for you, but you will come and eat at my table, at the king's table." Doesn't matter what pit of sin you were in before you got saved. God saved you. He washed you and cleansed you and put your feet upon a solid rock. And you're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb with the Son of God one day and eat from His table and rejoice in what God has done for you. Let us not forget. Let us always remember. Let us see what we were and know what we are now because of the grace of God. A place reserved at the table of the Lord. Mephibosheth didn't earn this. He didn't have any right to it. Matter of fact, most time in that day and time when a new king came to the throne, he would slay all of the relatives of the past king, because he didn't want any grief from them or cause for them or political pressure they could weigh against him. We look at all the memory statues of our country. Arlington Cemetery. The Washington Monument. Abraham Lincoln sitting on the chair, the words behind him. We look at all the memories, the writings, the paintings. Remember or learn what America started out to become and what truly great men have done to help it along. Justice for all, equal protection under the law, in God's name we trust on our money. The Washington Monument, on the very top of it where you cannot see, are the words, "Los Deo," translated, "Praise be to God," on the top of the Washington Monument. And if you get an aerial view from the top of the Washington Monument, you'll see that that is laid out in the acreage of a cross. The tomb of the unknown soldier, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known only to God." Some of those that were originally unknown through DNA have been found, that their remains, they were able to decide who they were if they had had medical records that would prove that. The soldiers march. The soldiers shave and bathe and clean their uniforms daily and right before going on for their service and time. And they go in any weather. It's continuous. And they walk on guard for the tomb of the unknown. Three Greek figurines represent peace, victory, and valor. Principles that need to be remembered. In Psalm 33, the Bible gives us things to be remembered. Psalm 33 and verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looked from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Psalm 127, verse 1 through 5 reminds us, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. A nation can be built, but unless we look to the Lord, it can be something that passes as so many nations have. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Major General John A. Logan saw the women decorating the graves of the dead, and he wrote much about it, and he influenced things to be done at Arlington and for Memorial Day to become a reality. On May 30th at Arlington, 1868, he wrote, let no neglect, no ravages of time, testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic. Every communion service that we observe is a memorial to the Lord Jesus Christ for his death on the cross until he comes. We remember that he died for us. We remember how he died for us. We remember what he suffered. We remember that he rose again from the dead, that he ascended to his throne, that he is coming again, and that he alone paid the price for our redemption. God established the rainbow. I won't turn there for the time, but it's found in Genesis 9, verse 8 through 17. So that when a cloud comes and rain comes and the rainbow is seen in the sun rays through the moisture, the Bible says, God said, I will remember my promise and my covenant, not to destroy the earth with a flood again. God will remember. Should we not remember all that God has done for us? When Jesus established the Lord's Supper with the Passover, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then the cup, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Let us remember the fallen. Oh, how the mighty are fallen in the midst of the battle. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands have given their lives. And parents have grieved and wept. Somebody put together a collage on Facebook for veterans for Memorial Day, showing funerals of those killed in battle, pregnant women standing beside the coffin of a husband who died. That's the price that it takes for a free nation. Let us not forget. Let us not forget what our Savior did for us that we might have everlasting life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Miss Gwen will play through something for us. And we'll bow our heads in prayer. If you'd like to come to the altar to pray, you can. Scatter out if you do. And if you need someone to counsel with you or pray with you about your soul, about something going on, then I'll meet you down front. Father, we bow our heads together and we give recognition and remembrance. Remember that we must not forget all you have done for us. Let us publish it. As the wicked published rejoicing when Saul was slain, let us publish rejoicing that Christ hath paid the price for sin, and those who come in repentance and faith can be saved and cleansed and given a home in heaven. Like Mephibosheth, we'll sit at the king's table. And Lord, bless your people here today for coming. Protect them, keep them safe. Bless, Lord, those who are watching by the video and meet their need. We ask for your help and your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.